Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. I wanted to talk about the subject of Noah's Ark. Of course, many people have been seeing The Mutant, the movie that is out now, and there's been a lot of blog posts about this, a lot of discussion about it. Frankly, I've been a little bit disturbed by some of the Christian response to it. I find that the Christians don't seem to be quite as discerning as I thought they were. I think that I've talked to some Christians that said, hey, I went there with an open mind to see what was taking place. Well, there was a lot of information beforehand that was already out about the film and statements that had been made by the producer of the film and so forth that was enough to cause me not to have such an open mind. And then there were other Christians that said, hey, I just went there, and it's just entertainment. So if you go there just in looking at it as entertainment, then it's no big deal. But my question is, when are we ever told in the Word of God to separate our theology from our time of entertainment? You know, I just can't do that. I'm always thinking in terms of what the Scripture has to say about certain instances. And so I wasn't able to do that on thinking about this movie and just, you know, dismiss it as just being entertaining. It'd be like I think Martin Luther King going to see a movie about Jim Crow and then say, well, it was just entertainment, no big deal. I don't think we can do that. This is our God that is being presented here. This is the His holy word that is being misrepresented big time in this. And so I just wasn't able to do it. Well, it seemed that I was lining up pretty closely with a well-known screenwriter and author, Brian Gottawa. He wrote a book called Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment is the title of his book. It looks like a great book to be able to build into our thinking Christian worldviews in a way of looking at things where we are much more discerning about what we are seeing. Brian also, he was able to, I guess he was privy to the script beforehand and was able to make some comments about the movie Noah, and he took a beating for it. A number of people criticized him heavily because of this, and when the actual movie came out, he said, guess what? I was right, and then some. And then he wrote again about, he wrote an article called Deconstructing Noah's Ark. Well, Brian joins us now to talk about that blog and about what he found in this movie. Brian, thanks so much for joining us today on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Well, tell us, tell our listening audience, you're in this industry. You got the chance to see this film, and you know the various elements of it and so forth. Just go ahead and tell our listening audience of what your take is on this film.
Well, my take is pretty much consistent with the original take that I had on the script, and that is I think that the movie is basically made by Darren Aronofsky, who is an atheist and a secular humanist. He has set himself, and he has set himself that it's a parable, or it's a story that he believes reinforces environmentalism. So his agenda going in is to basically subvert the original Bible story and turn it into a parable for an elevation of the earth, basically over mankind, because the earth is more important than mankind. And whereas in the biblical tale, of course, the earth is, man is to be a steward of the earth, but the earth is there, it exists for mankind's sake to rule over and have dominion as well as cultivate and keep. But nevertheless, God gives him that sort of godly task of ruling over creation. And secondly, I think that, the movie, since Aronofsky is an atheist, he's not a Christian, then God, sure, he's telling a story that has God in it, but for him, God is a metaphor. And so really, God becomes a metaphor for man's own projected notions of deity. And in a very real sense, I think that the story is telling about Noah, turns Noah into a very dark, unsympathetic character who struggles with whether or not he should murder his grandchildren because he believes that mankind is evil against the earth, and therefore mankind doesn't deserve to live at all, and so only the animals should live because the animals are innocent, right? So it's got this sort of animal rights, environmentalist sort of worldview that is, you know, basically turning the story into something else than what it originally was.
Mm.
And this isn't just a situation of Christians are never satisfied. If you do anything different at all, if you make any, have any creative license, Christians squawk. This isn't a case of that. Most Christians are fine with some creative license. They understand that there's not much about Noah in the Bible, so you have to fill in the holes. I have no problem with that myself. In fact, I wrote a best-selling novel called Noah Primeval, about Noah of all things,
mm-hmm.
and I have a lot of imagination in there, and a lot of Christians have been loving it. So that's not the issue. And I think that's what the media marketers are trying to do, is trying to, you know, make Christians who are standing against this movie as, oh, they're just the typical fundamentalist squawkers or whatever.
Mm.
And that's simply not the case with most of us. The problem is that the story is, it's not that it's taking liberties, it's that it's taking those liberties to subvert the original biblical story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that heavy emphasis on that radical environmentalism. Somebody had written that it was changing God into Gaia, and so this mythological Mother Earth type of a being, I should say, referring to God simply as Creator, the Creator, and never actually mentioning God himself in the text, which of course is such a prominent role in the actual story, of course, of Noah. So, and then from there, as you were pointing out, when you say that we refer to a dominion mandate that's given in the book of Genesis, that person in the film, I understand, is made out to be one of the evil people that
Not only that, he is the evil villain of all.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who quotes the Bible in a sense, right? He says man is superior to the animals. Man should have dominion over the animals and over creation. But they also turn him, you know, his name is Tubal-Cain. And Tubal-Cain in the Bible says, the only thing it says about him was that he was, basically he was the father of metalworking. And so they have him as a blacksmith in the movie. But they also turn him into a person who believes in private property rights. He claims land ownership. They turn him into an evil corporate industrialist, right?
Mm.
And he also mines the earth for resources, which is kind of like oil drilling, right?
Fracking.
He believes in energy from the earth.
Yeah.
And then he also has guns. He believes in gun rights because he has a primitive kind of a gun that's magical sort of talisman, right?
Yeah.
And so all these, you know, basically he is a symbol of Judeo-Christian Western civilization.
Hmm.
And that is the enemy in this movie. And
yeah.
So that's where you can really begin to see what he's really doing as a storyteller is. He's subverting the original text and turning it against itself.
And in all those ways, it is it's a highly political thing that it's become as well. We just have the release of the UN climate report is coming out. In fact, I'm going to have a couple of folks on the broadcast tomorrow to talk about that report from a different perspective, you know, other scientists that are saying not so fast. But that report basically says we're all doomed, that if we don't stop, some emissions immediately, that's it. You know, the planet is done, and we only have, you know, a very small window of time to fix all this. So it just seems that the timing of this coming out with such a radical environmentalist viewpoint being espoused here, that anti-humanistic message that man is bad and earth is good and pristine earth has got to be the best of all things, and you know we spoil everything that we touch, and I mean it's just an ugly message, isn't it?
It is. You're right. It's ugly. That's what I said. I said the movie's ugly, and it's ultimately anti-human. Now, of course, people would say no, it's pro-human because Noah ends up, the whole dilemma, the moral dilemma for Noah throughout the movie is should he kill his granddaughters because he doesn't want humanity so evil that they don't deserve to die, or don't deserve to live. Mm. Only the animals do, right? But then he ultimately realizes at the end that, oh, and by the way, he believes God is telling him to do this, and there's no indication that God is not.
Mm.
And then at the end of the story, though, Noah breaks down and says, I can't do it. I can't kill my granddaughters because, you know, I see love in their eyes. And you think, well, that's good, right? He decides not to do it. Yeah, but unfortunately, the problem is that the message there is that God did not tell him that. God is judgmental and harsh and cruel. God wanted him to Noah to decide for himself if mankind was worth saving or not.
Mm.
So it's all up to Noah. It's all humanistic. It's all, you know, God becomes just sort of a, God becomes a projection of man's own beliefs. You know what I'm saying? And man is really ultimately the measure of all things. And, you know, not only that, but there's also this underlying current that I think that Brian Matson has pointed out in his blog about the serpent. And, you know, the serpent in the biblical story is, of course, a negative character, right? But
yeah.
In this story, the serpent is a positive character because the shed skin of the serpent becomes this magic talisman that gives wisdom and enlightenment and sort of favor or grace to the one who has it, kind of like a birthright, right?
Mm.
And so this skin of the serpent becomes this talisman throughout the film. And it's just, you know, really?
Yeah.
You know, the serpent is now a positive bringer of wisdom?
Right.
This isn't anything new. Modern, you know, humanism and Gnosticism have always said that the serpent wasn't a bad guy. He actually brought wisdom to man because he helped man become mature and make his own decisions instead of God doing everything for you.
Mm.
And that's basically the message of this film. And it's sad that Christians who are supporting it are not recognizing this, are not acknowledging it. And they're pointing out things that, you know, they're pointing out other things that they see that are positive. And I understand that there are not everything's bad in the movie. The movie struggles with justice and mercy. But nevertheless, the Christians who are not recognizing this and supporting the film, it saddens my heart that Christians aren't more educated, theologically educated about their own Bible.
Yeah, I know that we can get a teaching moment out of anything. It'd be like watching Helter Skelter with Charles Manson and then saying, though, that, you know, this is going to help us to be able to talk to people about thou shalt not kill. Yeah, we can get a lesson out of it. But the idea here is that it is a complete rewriting of the biblical story. It turns the whole Bible, the story of Noah. I just preached through Noah, the faith of Noah, just recently from Hebrews chapter 11. And, it's just such a glorious story in the ark with the message about Christ and the message of grace and the ark being provided for all who would come in. They just turned this entire story on its head in the movie Noah. I understand that even fallen angels come and help Noah to build the ark. Is that correct?
Yes. In fact, you know, they pretty much build the ark because there's these giants. Their angels come to Earth and their bodies become encrusted with Earth, which is not. It's very deliberate there as well too. You know, he's saying, look, the Earth itself is important. Or not just important, but the earth itself is sacred. And that, so the angels become encrusted or enfleshed with rock, and so they look like big rock monsters. And they're giants, and they're the ones who build the ark with Noah. And you know what, to be honest with you, that doesn't even bother me. Again, I think creative license, you know, Noah couldn't build an ark that big by himself and his four sons. And when the Bible says that Cain built the city, obviously Cain didn't build the whole thing by himself. He had people help him.
Mm.
It means Cain overlooked the building of a city. In the same way, I think that, you know, Noah building the ark doesn't necessarily have to mean he did everything. He could have had angels helping him. There are extra biblical books that suggest that. So to me, that's not even a big issue. What the issue is what are those changes pointing towards? And what's the meaning of those changes? And in this story, those watchers or those angels that come to Earth, ironically, in the Bible, they're actually depicted as negatively in Genesis 6, 1 through 4. But in this story, they become positive, you know, positive heroes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So again, he sort of subverts everything in the Bible. He's turning it on its head.
Mm. you make, from a film writer perspective, you make the point that it's not even that well done. You didn't seem to really care just for the movie, for the artistic value of it, of putting the movie together. And towards the end of your blog post, you make some comparisons with Avatar. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I kind of joke around and I say, well, look, you know, the theology is bad, but even worse, I think the filmmaking is bad. It's a story that it's just really not that good of a story. You don't really care much about the characters. You don't know much until more like halfway through the film. And you certainly don't like Noah, because when he becomes a homicidal maniac thinking that he's supposed to murder his family, you want to leave the theater.
Mm.
And, you know, the special effects are really look like low-budget special effects. You're wondering, where did all the money go? Where did all that $130 million go? Did it go to Solyndra and Al Gore's pocket?
Mm.
I mean, you know, it's like it just doesn't look that good, you know? And then the story itself is choppy and jumpy and just dark and dreary looking. And people, you know, look, everybody loves a good post-apocalyptic movie, so to speak, right? But you gotta ultimately have a picture of interest and something that looks visually interesting as well. And it just didn't have that. And the writing was pretty mediocre. So yeah, nevertheless, I think that this is a case where the emperor has no clothes. Well, more to the case, the emperor is not an emperor. He's just not a great filmmaker. And I think though that he's got a lot of elite. He's elitist in Hollywood. People think he's a great director, so they're afraid to criticize him and afraid to point these things out, I think.
Mm. And connecting with Avatar, you had mentioned that that was a naked pagan earth worship movie, no doubt about it. But you write that it was just much more authentic, even though
I tell people go see Avatar again instead, because at least it's honest, open, naked pagan earth worship. But yeah, it's a great story. I say that. I critique Avatar as what it was. It was paganism. But I still like the movie, and I think that, you know, you can appreciate to a certain degree. You know, sometimes the bad becomes so – there's always good and bad in every movie. And sometimes the bad becomes so bad that it can overwhelm the good. And that might be a subjective interpretation. But I think in this case, in the Noah case, that's definitely the case. There's a movie that – you know, like Avatar, you know, there's a lot of bad in it, but it is a great story, and I'll admit that.
Mm-hmm.
But in Noah, you know, you've got a situation where, look, at some point, the truth really, you know, really does have to be more important than anything else. But in another sense, it's not just the truth, but it's the quality of the film as well. And yeah, like I said, this is a case where the emperor has no clothes. But the problem is Hollywood really is filled with a lot of you know, peer approval if you want to get accepted to the parties and get the free screenings, all the film critics have to love this stuff, because then they'll lose their contact. And besides, you know, it really shows me how much film critics really hate Christians, that they'll stick up for this bad movie. Well, I think mostly because they know Christians don't like it.
Hmm. And yet we do have some Christians that actually endorse the film. I think I saw some trailers for it that had credits at the end of it, where I think people would be surprised with some of the people that had actually endorsed it. They had been privy to seeing some of it ahead of time, and they came out with some pretty glowing endorsements. I mean, what does that say about Christian discernment in the film's particular?
Yeah, honestly, it saddens me. It genuinely saddens me that these Christians are, I don't know if they're being paid or what by Hollywood, but it saddens me that they won't stand up and point this out, that they'll just support it. And here's a movie where Darren Aronofsky and the studios are using Christians and laughing at them behind their backs, because they know full well that they do not believe in, you know, they hate these Christians, basically. They hate Christianity. And they're using Christians to make money, to get that support for that side of the audience.
Mm.
And I think these Christians are saying that. I honestly don't know why. I don't know why, because I can't believe that they don't see this. And, you know, maybe it is that they want you know, they want so badly for us to you know, see the positive side of Hollywood that they're ignoring the bad or something, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that some of their concerns I share. You know, like I went into this saying, look, let's have a conversation. You know, it doesn't have to, you don't have to agree with a movie to be able to like it, or you don't have to agree with a movie to be able to watch it and converse with people. And it's an opportunity to talk. And I believe that. But also I believe that, you know, the truth, you know, and that you need to speak out for the truth. And I don't know why they're not.
It seems like there's almost this desperation for us to be able to have, you know, a blockbuster movie that we can then use. And I think it's a you know, just a misguided and misunderstanding of the Word of God and the methodology that the Lord uses to feel that we have to have some sort of grand acceptance from the world in this particular space in order to be able to preach the gospel. And, you know, it just seems that desperate nature that people are showing there, that they're willing to overlook so much in order to say, well, finally, we got something that's here. Well, it's really not what we believe, but still, it's us, you know, here. It's got the name Noah on it. And at least that way we can. And it's such a disappointment, you know. It's not the gospel.
It's like the grade schoolers on the school ground wanting to be cool. They want to be accepted by the cool crowd, you know?
That's right.
And that's really sad to me.
That's what happened in much of liberalism. And, you know, they wanted to be accepted by their peers, the Christian writers did. They wanted to be put in the journals and looked upon and received the awards and all these types of things. And so they were willing, really, to capitulate. And pretty soon you look and you go, hey, whatever happened to the gospel? You know, whatever happened to the truth? You capitulate so far, and then you realize we lost the very thing that we were trying to actually put out. And I think this is one of those cases where I think you're right, you know, that we're not it's not one of those cases where there was a little bit of poetic license taken. That's not this.
Yeah.
This is a complete rewriting. This is in almost no way, shape, or form is the story of Noah. And yet, and we've got to go ahead and say that and then start from there and have a conversation from that point.
Yeah, and some people have accurately said that really about the only similarities between the Bible story and this is that there's a man named Noah, there's a boat, and there's a flood.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's, you know, it's a little exaggerated, but it's definitely true in the sense that, you know, this is basically, this is actually what Aronofsky's doing is something that is done a lot. And I think that it is the essence of storytelling in many ways. A lot of us storytellers do this, and that is subversion.
Mm-hmm.
And I write about that subversion in my book, Word Pictures, where the notion is you basically take the other person's story and retell it within the parameters of your own worldview.
Yes.
And that's how you capture the enemy, by capturing his story.
Yes.
And that's what's going on here is subversion.
Oh,
you hit
the nail on the head right there.
And you know, again, look, all writers do this. I do it. In my novel, Noah Primeval, I tell the story about the antediluvian days, and I have a, you know, I have a Noah that's a warrior, you know, but he's not this dark, unsympathetic one, but he has a character flaw. You know, he's not perfect because Noah was a sinner, right? He was not Jesus.
Exactly.
So, you know, that kind of stuff. But I also, in my story, I subvert environmentalism because at that time, that's what's so ironic about it, because at that time period, you know, when the Bible was being written by Moses and such, and afterwards even, was that, you know, the pagan religions of the day actually worshipped earth gods.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a way, the original story of Noah was undermining the earth gods, because if you read the Genesis account, it's the first creation account in that ancient Near East that didn't make sacred the earth. It desacralized the earth. In fact, environmentalists of today complain about the Bible that it desacralizes the earth. In other words, it turns the earth, it says it's not sacred.
Mm-hmm.
It is our responsibility, but it's not sacred in that it's not deity, and that it's actually been given to man to rule and subdue. In other words, the notion in the Bible is The world is a wilderness. Nature is a wilderness. It's wild. It must be tamed by man's technology and mind.
Yes.
And God has given that, and thus that's where we get things like, you know, agriculture and farming, as well as oil drilling for energy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are all good things that can be abused, but nevertheless, they're all good things that man uses to harness the environment for his good. That's what God gave it as.
Amen.
And so the original Bible story was subverting the ancient paganism. Now Aronofsky is subverting that back.
Mm.
And that's why in my story, in my Noah Primeval novel, I subvert environmentalism, and I show how people who worship the earth end up being murderous human sacrificers.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Brian, thank you so much for writing this review of it. Thank you for your book about Hollywood worldviews. I'm going to give people the website here in just a moment, but thanks for spending some time with us to talk about it. Our time's all gone. I apologize. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. That was Brian Gottawa. You can go out to his website at www.gottawa.com. That's gottawa.com. You'll see his book out there, Hollywood Worldviews, and then you can see more about that. We're going to talk a little bit more about environmentalism on tomorrow's broadcast, second half of the broadcast tomorrow, so you don't want to miss that. World Magazine will be up first. And then after World, we'll talk about a brand new UN report that says basically we're all doomed. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." We'll see you next time, right here on Knowing the Truth.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.